I'm going to start in Job chapter 12, and so if you'd like to join me there, that would be a great place for us to start this morning, Job chapter 12. This morning's topic is regarding aging. Last week we looked at work, and as life progresses, we grow older, we grow more skilled, we have more expertise, and then someone decides we're done working. Finished. Need to move on. Have done enough. The industry may be passing me by. Whatever the case may be, and I must say to you that coming into being a pastor, I knew that aging brought its own difficulties and challenges. But I have been enlightened and grown in my understanding of just how much a part of the daily life aging's difficulties bring. And so as we come together this morning, we look at a topic that we don't always look at, and quite honestly, I don't make my applications as clearly or as helpfully as I could to those who are in this aging category. And so this morning's message is certainly most particularly for you. I want to start this morning by reading just a portion of an article that was from January 20th, 2013. It is under the headline, "You Are Going to Die." But we don't have a choice. You are older at this moment than you've ever been before, and that counts for the 12-year-old as well as the 82-year-old. You are older at this moment than you've ever been before, and it's the youngest you're ever going to get. The mortality rate is holding at a scandalous 100%. Pretending death can be indefinitely evaded with hot yoga or a gluten-free diet or antibiotics or antioxidants or just refusing to look is craven denial. Facing it, always facing it, that's the way to get through, is what Conrad wrote in The Typhoon. Face it, he was talking about more than storms. You know, that's the secular approach to getting older. And if that left you feeling just a little bit empty, then that's really all that author could give to you. But the scriptures give to us really a much different view of what it means to age and to grow older. And as we look at the scriptures this morning, and I ask you to even pray with me as I whittle down the abundance of what scripture has to say, so that we can, I think, easily digest it this morning. As we look at the abundance of what Scripture has to say, it really gives us a much different picture of you're young, you work, you get old, and then you die. There's more to that. It's better than that. And all of us are getting there as we would imagine our normal life cycle to go, and so we should all be prepared, whether you are 82 or 52 or 32 or 12. What I'd like for us to think about this morning is we need to grow older full of grace. We've heard that phrase, growing old gracefully. Sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But what I think all of us can take away from the scriptures this morning is that God wants us to grow older full of grace. Grow older full of grace. How does that grace appear in my life as I grow older? And just a note, as I use the word older or old, I certainly am not using it the way society does in a bit of an insulting or pejorative sense. It's the word the scriptures use, the words the scriptures use. I will seek to mix in the word aging or those who are aging or the aged. We want to take what society is saying is a bad thing or an unwelcome thing, and we want to look at it from Scripture's point of view. How can God's grace appear in my life and in your life as we all grow older? The first thing we want to note, if we're going to grow old full of grace, is that we need to let the Jesus of the Scriptures be our wisdom. Older people are to be known for their wisdom. It is the common assumption that with years come experience, and with that experience, whether it be mistakes or successes, comes wisdom. And so you're in Job chapter 12, and verse 12 says this, "Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days." Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. Job 32 tells us, the book of Proverbs again and again refers to the hoary head or the gray head of wisdom. And we'll look at some of these verses later. It talks about children listening to their parents because of the wisdom they have from age. We look in the New Testament at elders who are supposed to be listened to because it is assumed that they have gained wisdom over the years. And so as you are growing older at whatever stage of life you're in, and really older is not an age, it's a stage. The scriptures speak of those who are old as those who most certainly are grandparents, in many cases are parents with children outside the home. There's not an age that defines us that way. It is a stage of life. At your stage of life, as you have aged and gained experience, the scriptures want you to use that wisdom for the benefit of your soul and the benefit of other people's souls. We read these unfortunate words in 1 Kings 11:4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know, we assume that wisdom will come with age, but the wisest man who ever lived, as he grew older and aged, allowed people to turn his heart to idols. And so what we note is that we need to, as it were, fight to be wise. How do we fight to be wise? How do we get real wisdom? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, "Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus," writing to believers. Because of God, believers are in Christ Jesus, and Jesus has become to us wisdom from God. Tradition would tell us that wisdom comes from living, but the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and ultimately the New Testament tells us that Jesus is wisdom. And so the first point this morning is this: let the Jesus of the Scriptures be your wisdom. Yes, there is a knowledge that is essential to even surviving a power outage because we get so used to modern conveniences. There's a wisdom that is entailed in making sure that you have enough money to live on as your time of working ends. There's a wisdom about a myriad of other things, making sure you change the oil on time and get the timing belt changed, and tricks of the trade in the kitchen that are learned over time. But the most important wisdom is to have a fear of the Lord. Is that what you have this morning? Is that what you're cultivating? Is that what you are looking for in the Scriptures? Has Jesus become your wisdom? Or are you like Solomon, with a heart that is turned after other gods, a heart that has become foolish? The book of 1 Thessalonians tells us that the wisdom of those believers was that they had turned to God from idols to serve this living and true God. So this morning, our first real question is, what is your wisdom? Is it a worldly wisdom, or is it a scriptural wisdom? Is Jesus your wisdom, or is some other philosophy or teaching or approach your wisdom this morning? Jesus is the wisdom that will lead us to eternal life. And Jesus is found in the Scriptures. Is that where you are going? My friend, if you are aging this morning and your only wisdom is that which the world can provide, there's a way which seems right unto a person, but the end of that way, the Scriptures tell us, is death. The wisdom that we need is the wisdom of God that leads to eternal life, that is a fountain of life, that leads us into the next life, ready to meet our Maker. And so the first thing we call ourselves to this morning is to believe in Jesus and to repent of sin, and to let Jesus be our wisdom and not indulge or trust in our own. How can we grow old full of grace? We make Jesus our wisdom. The second way that we can grow old full of grace is to desire the best health. To desire the best health. This is a short point and simply comes from the book of 3 John. If you go to the book of Revelation and turn back a book or two, you get to the little tiny book of 3 John. It only has one chapter in it. And it has this tremendously powerful verse, 3 John and verse 2. I'll start in verse 1 to get the context. This is the elder writing to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Yes, you and I recognize that to age means that our bodies start to do things they didn't used to do, or stop doing things that they used to do. I recognize you look at me and assume I'm a picture of health. I'm young. No, I have gray in my beard. I'm in that middle stage. And I went skiing a week or so ago and tore a muscle. Maybe 15 years ago, that muscle would have been healed by now. Someone asked me this morning why I was limping. I'm trying to walk without the limp, right? I'm thinking I'm young, I'm proud, and I don't want anyone to see me limping. But it's either that or grimace or tear it more. This is the way life goes. We get older and things don't work as they did before. This is the result of Adam and Eve's sin. This is a result of the curse in the world. And so God told Adam and Eve that if they were to disobey Him, they would die. And the process of death began. For Adam and Eve and those of their generation, that process was very long and would last 600, 700, 800, 900 years. For us, it lasts 600, 700, 800, 900 decades. The process of aging is quicker and things don't work like they used to. We're thankful that Joanne Kidd is doing much better after having her appendix burst. That's not what it's designed to do, but in these sin-cursed bodies, that's what happens, and all of us understand the ailments that we encounter. As we encounter those ailments, this prayer of John's to me is a striking one. I pray that all may go well with you, and I pray that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. What John is setting up for us is this comparison between the health of the soul and the health of the body. And he is saying, I wish, I pray that your body would be as healthy as your soul. What if we compared your soul's health this morning with your body's health? Which one would be more healthy? Which way would we pray? Would we pray that your soul would be as healthy as your body, or would we pray that your body would be as healthy as your soul? Now, this is not to say that our bodies are unimportant. We don't want to get into an error to think that our bodies are unimportant and because they're just material, and our soul, because that's what can have relationship with God, that therefore that is important. No, God has given to us our bodies, and in fact will resurrect our bodies and make them perfect one day. But the reality is that our soul's health is something that will take us into eternity, whereas our body could waste away, it could be crippled, it could be not functioning, and we can still have that hope of the resurrection. And so, the words of John, I think, come down to us today, to those who experience physical malady after physical malady, and they remind us that the health of our soul is paramount. And my friends, I pray this for so many of you. I pray that your bodies would be as healthy as your souls, and that we would desire the best health. How else will God's grace appear to us? It appears as we make Jesus our wisdom. God's grace appears to us as we age, when we give focus to the health of our soul. And God's grace appears as we fulfill our obligations. Genesis 17:24 tells us something very interesting. Now, Abraham was 90 years old when he was circumcised. Genesis 17:24, Abraham was 90 years old when he was circumcised. We have a couple of 90-year-olds here this morning. Imagine being so obedient to the Lord at the age of 90 that you would go through a new ritual, something that God has shown to you He wants for you to do. This has not been a part of the previous 9 decades of your life. Would you, like Abraham, by faith, do exactly what God said to you? There are obligations even for those who are older to fulfill. Psalm 148 says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps." And for 4 verses, it goes on about all these different parts of creation that should praise the Lord. And it comes to verse 12, "Young men and maidens together are to praise the Lord. Old men and children are to praise the Lord." Philemon 1:9 says this, "For love's sake, I appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus." Paul felt compelled to fulfill this obligation to seek out the spiritual good of his friend Philemon and Onesimus, And he writes and he characterizes himself as an old man, probably in his 60s at this point. There are obligations of obedience and praise and teaching that you who are aged are to fulfill. And these are for the good of those around you. Think about Abraham's obedience. It's 99 years old. I only read half the word there. Abraham at 99 obeys God with this ritual, and there is spiritual benefit for his obedience by faith. Those who praise the Lord show and exemplify for us the joy that we can have even when life is not perfect. And how much do we need to be appealed to by those who are older and have that spiritual wisdom? But that is your obligation, my aged friends. If you would turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, keep going backwards from the book of 3 John, get past Hebrews, and you're very close to Titus. Just before Hebrews are Philemon and Titus, and we're going to read from Titus 2. As I was preparing for this, actually over a year ago, as I was thinking about preaching about this at some point, I asked Jeff Frischkorn, who was at the dawn of his retirement about a year ago, if he would do some Bible study for me and for him. And Jeff did some study on aging and what the Scriptures have to say about that. And I'm going to quote him in just a moment here because I thought he had an interesting turn of phrase. As we read Titus chapter 2, note what this young elder Titus is told to teach. Chapter 2, verse 1, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfast." And Jeff had these comments to say about dignified. "Whether dignified includes ensuring that a man doesn't leave the house wearing knee-length shorts, black socks, and open-toed sandals is an item best left for one's long-suffering wife to decide." Those are things I can't say, but Jeff can say them and provides a bit of levity. Yes, dignified probably does include that, I guess, Jeff. Have you found out? Not personally. Well, you've been good. But there's an obligation for older men. They are to be taught to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. Older men are to be, yes, certainly fleeing youthful passions. They are to be sober, which is not the same as somber. It just means under control. Many of these are giving various shades on the same thing. They are sound in faith. They are grounded in their faith. They are not prone to heresy or false teaching. There's an obligation for older men to be loving, not old and crotchety. All right? Those are words for me too. I find the older I am, the more I love books and quiet. That's okay. But God told us to love people, to be steadfast, to be consistent. And these things are written to us because in the time that I have been pastor here and interacted, I recognize that the temptations don't end when the paychecks end. Temptations extend to us throughout our lifetime experience. The temptations alter and change, but society, our own flesh, and evil forces all want to pull us away from a life of righteousness and obedience, to pull us away from our obligations, whether it is to focus on ourselves and to lose focus on others, or whether it is to rue our days that God has given to us. The temptations continue in some form or fashion, and so we're reminded of our obligations. So those men who are older among us, here's what God expects of you. And the women who are older among us, God gives you words as well. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Older women have responsibilities likewise, to be exemplary so that their teaching and their life are complementary. Older women and older men have the opportunity for influence by how they live and by what they say. And this obligation is one that must be fulfilled by grace. As we let our eyes move down the page, we come to verse 11. It says, for the grace of God, after Paul tells Titus how to talk to older men, older women, after he tells him how to talk to slaves, he says this in verse 11, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. All of this is wrapped up within the grace of God coming to us in Jesus Christ and transforming us so that we live counter to our natural inclinations. The natural inclinations of youth are sinful. The natural inclinations of old age are sinful. And we need the grace of God to help us overcome our natural inclinations, our fleshly desires, and do what God would have us to do. And so, older men and older women, as you look at verses 2 and 3 of Titus chapter 2, is this what characterizes your life? Those of us who are younger and not in that stage of being aged, are we desiring to grow this way? Is this the end game for us? Or do we have some sort of other dreams or plans when we get more gray hair? The obligations of those who are aging must be remembered as well. And those obligations are for the good of the aged soul, but it's also for the good and the growth of Christ's church. We come to our fourth point this morning. There are obligations for the aged, but there are dues that are to be, as it were, paid to the aged. And so, how would we know the grace of God appearing in us? Well, with grace, the aged would receive their due. These are the verses that are many times familiar to us, and they are for all of us here. Proverbs 20, 29. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. And this is what the Scriptures have to say. Society tells us something different, but we need to remember, as much as we admire strength, so we should admire those who have aged and have learned and have grown. A gray head, Proverbs 16:31 says, is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. In 1 Kings 12, we find that the evil Jeroboam abandoned the counsel of the old men. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. These are the obligations of the young to the old, and this is what the old should graciously receive: the respect and the honor that is due. 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. encourage older women as mothers, we are not to rebuke them either, those of us who are young. And so we think, those of us who are young, about how we relate to the old. Do we see them as simply out of date, a version from decades past? Do we look at them with disdain or despising, or do we look at them to learn? There is an obligation on the part of older women to teach younger women, but as we look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, there is an obligation for younger women to learn from older women who know the Scriptures and who are living the Scriptures. Younger women, are you doing that? Whether you're teen or in your 20s, 30s as a young mother, whether you are the mother of teenagers, are you seeking to learn from those whose children are out of the house and those who have these character qualities? We who are young have an obligation to those who are aging and scripturally Jesus-wise to learn and grow. This is what makes the church multi-generational. If you look at the book of 1 John, you see John addressing children, young men, and fathers. A multi-generational community. You look at the nation of Israel, and it is a multi-generational community. You look at the book of Psalms, and that Psalm 71 where we just read, and there is this obligation and this opportunity for the older to pass on to another generation the good things that God has done. We are blessed and we are benefited as a church as we have a wide variety of ages here, because this gives us an opportunity to live out what the New Testament and the Old Testament display for us. And it hinges on whether or not we, the young, have the humility to learn from those who are Jesus wise and aged. Our fifth point this morning is to trust God to provide. If we are going to grow old with grace, if we are going to have the grace of God abundant in our lives, we're going to need to trust God to provide. I don't have to remind many of you how you have fretted at times about whether or not there would be enough from the pension, or whether or not the retirement would last, or how the market is affecting that which you've put aside. I don't have to remind you of how you have much time to think about these things, and that has not always been helpful. What I do want to remind you, and what we all must remember, is what Jesus has to say in Matthew 6. Would you turn to Matthew 6 with me this morning? Matthew 6. As I mentioned 6 years ago, as I began to pastor, I certainly knew the difficulties, but I didn't know perhaps the depth or perhaps the personal nature of them. Yes, I had been in churches all my life and certainly have had grandparents and have served in a pastoral way, helping those who are older. But this time of more personal time with many of you, and this is not to indict anyone, this is just for us to think about what is common. All temptation, there is no temptation that has taken you which is not common to man. And so one of the temptations that my friends who are older face is, will there be enough? And God makes it very clear that we can trust Him to provide. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It is common for us, young and old, to worry about what we will wear, about what we will eat, about how we will be cared for. And Jesus recognizes our thoughts and our concerns, and he takes us right to the point. The Heavenly Father cares about these things for you even more than you do. And he wants you to seek first his kingdom, and he wants to lavish upon you that which he deems best. The verse up on the screen earlier this morning said this, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. What wonderful words. I have been young and now I'm old, and God takes care of his own. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, there are those who have needs, and the Bible at every stage of life gives us instructions for how those needs are to be met. Families are to meet the needs of those who are older. And when family is not in the picture, when there is no family, they have passed, there are no descendants, God still makes some way for his own to be taken care of. And the church is a fallback for that. And in our country, we have measures that even go beyond that. Ultimately, though, all these things come back to the Lord promising to be our helper. And there is nothing that any person can do that will endanger us. My older, aging friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, keep trusting God to provide. Great is his faithfulness, and his mercies are new every morning. And the final way that we can grow old full of grace is to believe in the grace of God's presence with us. To believe in the grace of God's presence, that is his Holy Spirit. Listen to these verses, Psalm 71:9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, as we read earlier. Psalm 71:18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. And so God answers in Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. And just a reminder from Hebrews 13, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Believe the grace of God's presence. The house is quieter than it used to be, and the children don't come around or call perhaps as often as you wish. And there's a lesson for us who are younger in that. We don't live in multi-generational housing like we used to, with three or four generations under one roof. We don't even live sometimes in the same town or county or state. And life can be lonely for those whose children and grandchildren have lives of their own. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, believe the grace of God's presence. That he will carry you, he will bear you, he will save as you put your trust in him and Christ on the cross. And he will be with you always, even, he says, to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is that presence. As the psalmist prayed for it and God promised it in the Old Testament, we find it coming true in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would come to be the comforter, as the King James Version says. The ESV calls him the helper. He has this multifaceted function to come into our lives and to basically assist us in those ways which we need to obey the Father. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. How do we grow old full of grace? We grow old full of grace as we let Jesus be our wisdom. We grow old full of grace as we desire the best health, as we fulfill our obligations, and as we receive our due. We grow old full of grace as we trust God to provide, and we grow old full of grace as we believe that the Holy Spirit is with us by faith in Jesus Christ. As I was studying this week, I read this article, which certainly caught my attention with its title. I hope I die before I get old. I'm just going to read two paragraphs which will explain this title. I hope I die before I get old. This pastor says, "My mind goes to Richard. He passed away 3 weeks ago last Sunday. I preached his funeral 3 weeks ago today. He was 32 years old. And by grace, he was totally abandoned to Jesus. When you listen to his widow, Erin, talk about the turning point for them as far as dedicating their marriage to the glory of God, she will not say it was when Richard was diagnosed. It was during a frustrating car ride home one day. Circumstances in their lives led them in that car ride to, through tears and faith, say to the Lord, 'Whatever you want, whatever will magnify you, that's what we want.' Richard had his seizure that led to his diagnosis a few days later." And what makes Richard different from, and these are this author's words, "What makes Richard different from old coots who go out shaking their fist at the things of grace? God. But also, Richard decided to die before he got old. He decided to die before he died. And may we all do the same. Remember that Jesus said, 'Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Ultimately, my friends, whether young or old, this life is not about grasping and keeping. But it is, as Tom told us when we sang a little bit ago, it's about surrendering. It's about saying, "My life is not for me. My comfort, my pleasure, my dreams, or my plans. But my life is about the God who is my maker, redeemer, and friend." So whether you're old, needing to, as it were, catch up on that sort of surrender, or whether you're young this morning, may we grow older by grace, with grace, trusting grace. Let's bow to think about God's word a moment. We all have plans for the future. Won't you take the next 60 seconds to recommit to make God the focus of your future, or to repent that He hasn't been and pray that He would be? And then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your word would meet the needs of our souls today. And Lord, we pray that You would give us older men and older women who match up precisely with Titus 2 and 3. Lord, we pray that You would give health to souls this morning and wisdom from Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would look to Jesus as the focus of our lives, because He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. We ask this for His sake. Amen.